If you, the children can go to children's church. Bless you, my child. I ask you to stand in reverence for God's holy word. If it's difficult to stand, please just put your hand over your heart. Reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But the words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, every day that you wake up on the right side of the sod is a good day. Every day brings its own blessings, but I have to tell you, this is my favorite day of the year. This is my number one favorite day of the year, because this is the day that we celebrate victory being snatched away from death. This is the day we celebrate victory out of the hands of defeat. This is the day that says, for here and forevermore, we win. We win. But you know, so many times, we're like the women or the disciples. The women had prepared all these spices and ointments and were going to anoint the body of Jesus. They wanted to honor him. That was a good thing. They wanted to delay the decay of his body, much like we embalm people. We delay the process, but it's inevitable, right? But we try to delay that process. And they wanted to perform this one last act of love. And there's a great honor in that. There's great goodness in that. The only problem was, it was a completely wrong thing to do. Their intentions were good. Their love was definitely there, but they were looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Because you see, they thought Jesus was dead. Or maybe I should say, they thought Jesus was still dead. Still dead. And let's be honest, you would have thought the same thing. If you had seen him out of those last hours after he had been beaten and was almost unrecognizable, after he had been crucified, after he had been pierced with a sword, after all of these things had gone on, is it even possible that he could live again? Was that even cross your mind? Because you see, one of the things that we understand as human beings is that dead is the end. Dead is the end. And not just the end of our lives as human beings. I've had lots of things in my life die. Haven't you? I'm 57 years old. And by this time in my life, I will tell you, I've seen a lot of things die. Of course, I've lost a lot of people. But I have lost other things. I have lost hopes. I have lost dreams. I have set aside as impossible some things that for a time I really wanted. When I was young, I wanted to be an oceanographer. I love the ocean. I love science. I'm not that good at it, but I love it. And when I was 8 years old, I started reading Rachel Carson and started learning about the ocean and the life in the ocean because I just thought there could be no better life than being an oceanographer. But then we found out when I was about 10 that I have something wrong with my ears and I can't dive. It is not possible. I cannot dive. I can go under the water a little ways, but I cannot take the pressure of going down what way an oceanographer would. And that dream died. And it went down hard. And then when I decided that, you know, well, we'll see what else comes up. And then I discovered that I loved history. I discovered a love for history. I majored in history my final year in high school. I'd already taken all the required courses because I was going to get out early. Did y'all ever have that you could do that? Yeah. I had taken all my, I even went to summer school so I could take all of the classes and get out half day my senior year. I'm gone. But that last summer school class, I took American history with my best friend's father and found out that I loved it. So my senior year, I took every history class that Everett High School had. I took them all in 1 year. I loved it, and I wanted to be an archivist. Y'all know what that is? Okay, an archivist works with old stuff. You catalog things. You work in a museum. That kind of... I really wanted to do that. Unfortunately, it was the beginning of the 1980s. I had completed my degree. I had been hired by two museums, both of which cut my job before I ever showed up due to budget cuts. That went down hard. That went down really hard. And I went to I was in graduate school working on my master's in history, and I had a history professor tell me, if you finish this degree, you will starve to death. Go into something else. Not a real buck. So I went into educational psychology. And by the time I got to writing my thesis, I discovered that I really didn't like it. Now that's a problem.
Did you ever think the Lord was closing doors?
Yeah, well, God called me to preach when I was 14 years old. But I never felt that he was saying now's the time. You know, I knew it was going to happen someday, but quite honestly, I figured, you know, I would do that after I retired. That was my plan. Because I never felt that urging that now is the time. And so since my career in academia was down the tube, so to speak, I went to work using that educational psychology, working in statistics and at the University of Tennessee, and that was okay. And I decided that I got really, really tired of pushing paper from this side of my desk to this side of my desk. I wanted something that at the end of the day, you could look at it and say, I did something. So I became a picture framer. I don't know why you laughed at that, because it was really a lot of fun. I took people's piece of junk pictures, and by the time I got them framed, they were beautiful, if I do say so, myself. And I was actually, you know, when you start a new business, I mean, I put everything into that business. All of Gary's and my savings was in that business. Everything was in that business. And I broke even the first year. Even after all that outlay, I was doing very well. Gary was about to be offered the job of his dreams as a vice president at Pellissippi State. He was already a department head. He was going to be offered that deanship and vice presidency. It's what he'd worked for all his life. And then God says, okay, now's the time to go preach. To which I responded, look at your watch. It could not possibly be the time. Gary is about to get what he has worked for all his life. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. This cannot be the time. Besides, I've got my first house. But those dreams all had to be set aside. And we went to seminary and starved for 3 years. I am still paying my student loans. They'll probably get the end of it out of my life insurance. We went through all of it. Every time something died, something else was born. Folks, dead is not the end. It is a transition. Resurrection, that's what it is. Jesus' physical body died. But his resurrected body was better than the one he had before. The dreams were better than what I had before. Not just be alive, not just exist, but be full of life. You know the difference, right? Between alive and full of life? Okay. This is alive. I'm breathing. Is full of life.
Amen.
Amen. Because resurrection, folks, is powerful. It is hopeful. It is wonderful. It is full of all of these things. And Jesus gave it to us. Amen. We are never defeated. It's never over. Death never wins unless you let him. So many times what happens is we go around acting like Jesus is still dead. We'll hit a hard patch. And sometimes I'm not saying that devastating things haven't happened, but we hit a hard patch. We hit a sickness. We hit death. We hit cancer. We hit terrible things. We lose jobs. We lose homes. We're sleeping in a car, some people. It is not always an easy life. Bad things do happen to people. Bad things happen to good people, and bad things sometimes are simply what happened because we made bad decisions. But we hit those bad times, and then we act like Jesus is dead. Remember me telling you about Martin Luther? Y'all remember that? Martin Luther's wife comes in, and she's wearing a black armband. Martin Luther's he's one of the great reformers of the church, one of the great men of God who ever lived, and he had been going around in the dumps for months. He'd been excommunicated from the church. He had hard times all around him. There was a great swell and growing of common people coming to Christ, but he lost a lot. A lot of things ended for him. And his wife comes in wearing this black armband, which they used to do when somebody died. And so she comes in and he goes, oh no, another thing. Who died? And she said, God. Anna, you blasphemed. She said, no more so than you sitting around acting like he's dead. How many times do we act like Jesus is dead? Folks, every time something ends, new life is resurrected. Because we are eternal beings. We are forever. And everything that happens that's good or bad is just a little spot in time. And sometimes we have that good thing and it's gone and we try to hang on to it. Have you ever met people who just can't get over the loss of something that used to be? Let me tell you something. This is for the members of Kendricks Creek United Methodist Church. And this is not your failing. This is not your failing, but let me remind you that 1950 is 60 years gone. We can't go back to the way it was. We can't go back to the times that I enjoyed, the way church used to be. I remember certain things we don't have anymore. I remember when we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the church was full on all of those times. We studied, we prayed, we were together in all of that. The world has changed. The church is still vital and active, but it's not going to be what it was. It's got to be what God is calling us to be now. Change is resurrection. Change is life, because if you are not changing, you're dead. I notice change every morning when I look in that mirror. Yeah, by golly, there it is. I got to tell something on Mike from yesterday. Yesterday, Mike had his knee all bandaged and he came in like this. He couldn't bend his knee. And I said, Mike, what did you do? You know, I figured he'd been powerlifting. You know, he said, well, I guess I'm just a day older. Because he hadn't done anything. He just woke up and, you know, and the knee wasn't working like it used to be. It's change. We change every day. And that's okay, because even as my physical body is failing, my spiritual body grows stronger every day. Resurrection is happening now. And the key to having that in your life is to remember what he told you. Remember the words of Scripture. That's the key to it, folks. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read it together if you can see it. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. His word is the key to life. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over to sinners. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise the third day. Ladies and gentlemen, do this. If you never do anything else I ever say, wake up every morning and declare it the third day. Amen. Resurrection. Life. He gave it all just so you could have it. Don't cheat yourself out of it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.